And it's a pleasure to see you tonight. I don't believe that any of you are here by an accident. And I also don't think that there's any better place I'd rather be than with my church family on Christmas Eve. It's a pleasure being a pastor here. It's a pleasure. But I think that there's a great message of importance tonight that we must share. There's a gift to be received. I was amused reading a survey that was done by a credit card company. And I found that they asked, what is the worst gift that you can receive from people? 31% said fruitcake. Why a fruitcake? I don't know. And then the survey went on to say, I like fruitcake, by the way. So if you got a fruitcake for me, you know, don't be put off from giving it to me. Go ahead and give it. I didn't take the survey. But the question then was asked, how do you get rid of gifts that you don't want? You ever get gifts from people and you really don't want it? What do you do? 30% of people just kind of stow it and hide it in the closet until a clean out day. 21% return it. 19% give the gift to somebody else as a gift. How many of you do that? Now I know where I get those gifts. Those socks nobody else wants, and I end up with them. I'm suggesting to you tonight that the all-time best gift that was ever given was this gift of a Savior, Jesus Christ. Once you get this gift, you never want to return it. It's the perfect gift. The Apostle Paul, when examining this gift of Jesus Christ, of a Savior, he made this statement in 2 Corinthians 9:15 when he said, "Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift." That's all he can say about it. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. Have you ever known people that have a lot to say? They like to talk a lot. Have you ever known people like that? Are you sitting next to somebody like that? Raise your hand if you're sitting next to somebody who just talks and not like. Be careful. There's going to be some marital fights tonight, and I don't want to stay after church with counsel on Christmas Eve. Paul was never one to be at a loss of words. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. He had lots to say on Christianity, on Jesus Christ, on the church. He loved it. He was passionate about it. But when it came to this, all he could say is it's an indescribable gift. Indescribable. And my heart breaks because some of you in here tonight have never received this gift. You've never received it. You've never had the joy. You've never had the passion, the awe of receiving such a gift and been able to say, like Paul, this is indescribable. This is fantastic. Some of you have come close to opening up this gift, but you haven't quite done it. When it comes around the Christmas story, there's always a decision to be made. The angel came to Mary and said, "Mary, God has chosen you." And Mary's response was simply in Luke, "May it be to me as you have said." She had a choice to make. She chose God's will. Joseph struggled to figure out how all this fit together. Here he was with a woman he was engaged to. He was a spouse to. And then finds out that she's expecting, she's pregnant. Another time, an angel came to him and said, "It's okay. This child is a child of God. She's not been unfaithful to you." He had a choice to make. He made the right choice. Christmas always comes down to some choices. How will you respond this Christmas? I want us to look back right now. We're going to read a passage together. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And I'm going to ask you guys to stand with me again. Stretch your legs out. Stand up as we read the Christmas story. We're going to read the first 15 chapters of the book of Luke. So please just be patient. We'll be out of here by midnight tonight. Wait. That's New Year's Eve next week, okay? We have a New Year's program next Saturday at 9 o'clock, if you don't know. Most of you should know, except for those who only come out on Christmas Eve. Next week, come out at 9 o'clock. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken, of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this night. Lord, this is a time when so many around the world are celebrating. Many do not know what they are celebrating. But there was a gift given. An incredible gift. An indescribable gift. And I pray tonight that You will pull our hearts and our minds back to that gift. And may we openly receive it. May some here tonight who have never received it open their hearts up to You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have little ones all over the room. It's kind of noisier than usual. And I just think this is so cute. I want to point out baby Ariella. Can you stand and hold Ariella and show everybody how cute she is? Isn't she a doorbell? She looks like a little Christmas elf. Back to our Christmas story. In commenting on this idea of Christmas, the meaning of Christmas, the writer Max Lucado puts it this way in a book called God Came Near. He says, "That particular moment was like none other, for through that segment of time a spectacular thing occurred. God became man. While the creatures of earth walked unaware, divinity arrived. Heaven opened herself up and placed her most precious one in a human womb. The omnipotent, in one instant, made himself breakable. He who had been a spirit now was pierceable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. And he who sustains the world with a word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God as a child. Holiness sleeping in the womb. The creator of life being created. God was given eyebrows, elbows, two kidneys, and a spleen. He stretched against the walls and floated in the fluids of his mother. God came near. The greatest present is the presence of Christ. This present involves three things, and I want to share them with you. If you received a green bulletin, you'll have them on the back. The first thing is the gift is who? Jesus Christ Himself. With all the wonderful trappings of Christmas, and who doesn't like the trappings? You know, the lights. Have you driven around and seen some beautiful lights? There's some great things. It's getting better and better every year. Who doesn't like the Christmas food? Be careful tomorrow. Who doesn't like getting and giving presents? We all do. But don't forget that Christ is Christmas. Don't take Christ out of Christmas. Like the old cliche, you know, Jesus is the... Okay, I don't even need to say it. He's the reason for the season. Don't forget it. He's a gift. He's the gift. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son as a gift. John 4, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. He's the gift of God. Romans 5, for if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? He's the gift. Over and over again, we see God gave. He gave us a precious gift. Jesus Christ is that gift. Number two is, this gift has, what does it say? You looking? Great value. This gift has great value. I recently saw on telly this woman who bought a gag gift to give to a friend. She paid some $20 for a painting that she thought was just ugly. Just an ugly painting. And she gave it to a friend. Come to find out, this painting was an important painting done by an important artist. And it's estimated to be valued at about $100 million. If that's a gag gift, come on, give me a gag gift, you know. She didn't know the value. And I think a lot of people today celebrate Christmas all the time. And they have no idea of the value. They look to the wrong things. We look, you know, at lovely feel-good things, but we're missing the true value of Christmas. God became man for us. Mary expressed this in a psalm of praise in Luke 1, verse 46. When she glorifies the Lord, she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant." My soul glorifies Him, the Lord, God my Savior. A guy named Bruce Emmert suggests there are three types of people who close themselves off to God, to receiving this gift. Ask yourself, are you one of these types of people? The first is simply the proud. The proud are the people who kind of have their arms folded across their chest. And their hearts are closed to anything to do with God. Have you ever met somebody like that? You mentioned the word God and all of a sudden they just kind of close themselves off. There's pride working there. When we come to Christ, we have to come humbly. He's God. He's the Creator. We're the creation. Don't let pride be your stumbling block that keeps you from this gift. The second kind of person, the people, is the powerful. The powerful raise their fist in defiance to God. And they trust in themselves and their own abilities. They look to themselves. And third, and I think this is often the most dangerous, and probably the most common, is the pacified. That is the ones who are content just chugging along at life. They go in, day out. They get up. They go to work. They come home. They watch TV. They go to bed. They get up and they do it again. And they call this living. And they never take the time to step back and say, God, why did you make me? What is their purpose? What is life about? They never take that time. Where do you fall in one of these categories? Do you fall? The third thing about this gift, not only is it Jesus, it has great value, but third, this gift must be received. This gift must be received. You can only receive God's gift when you reach out your arms and you receive Him. There are a couple of ways that some of us get sidetracked. And there are a couple of things we have to remember when we receive this gift. The first thing is that you cannot earn this gift. No matter how many times you may hear that the gift of salvation is free, there's still so many people who still try to earn it. They try to do something to get to heaven. They try to do something to make themselves acceptable to God. But if you have to earn something, it's not a gift, is it? It's a wage. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's something that you don't earn. So if I come and I give you a lovely gift, I give Ethel my Bible and say, here, Ethel, here's my Bible. And she takes it. Don't take it. I'm just kidding. But she takes it, and then I send her the bill in the mail, and I say, I want $50 for my leather-bound Bible. What happens to my gift? It's not a gift. We try to do that with God all the time. He gives us a gift, and it's free. But so many people think that they have to try to earn it. The second thing is you can't buy this gift. You can't buy this gift. Salvation is not for sale because the price has already been paid. It's prepaid. You cannot buy it. Have you received Jesus? Have you received this gift? Have you accepted it? It is a gift, and like a gift, it must be taken. A gift is useless if it's extended out to you and you will not receive it. It's useless. It will do you nothing. It will not give you peace. It will not give you forgiveness. It will not give you purpose until it is received. The gift of Christmas is free, but I want you to know something, that it's not cheap. It costs God His only begotten Son. The death of Christ. That's what it costs. He sent Jesus as a baby, and we celebrate this time of year, but we cannot forget why He sent Him. He sent Him for you. He sent Him to die on the cross for you. That gift. John 1 sums up the ultimate choice that must be made. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Are you a child of God? Have you received Christ? Have you received that gift? It's free. You can't earn it. Don't try it. It doesn't work. To receive Christ. To receive means like you're welcoming a visitor into your home. You're welcoming him in. You're opening the door. You're saying, my house is your house. Come in. It reminds me of Revelation 3:20 where it says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. God is offering you the gift, and He's knocking. And He says to anyone who will receive me and believe in me, he will become a child of God. You will have that relationship with God that I believe most people crave. You may be trying to fill that void with all kinds of things. At this time of year, people fill it with parties, with drinking themselves stupid. They fill it with being busy, with work. They fill it with trying, relationships, and often the wrong kinds of relationships. They're looking to fill a void that only God fills. I don't believe any of you are here by accident tonight. Like I said, I don't know all the reasons you're here. Many of you are church members, and I expect you to be here. Many are away visiting, I know. Many of you are visitors. And of course, welcome and Merry Christmas. But I don't believe even you're here by an accident. I believe God had plans for you to be here. And God is saying there's a gift and it has your name on it. Picture a gift, beautifully wrapped, has your name on it. But that gift is Jesus Christ. That gift is something that must be received. If you've never received Christ, don't leave the gift of God, of His grace, unopened. If you are a believer, don't relegate Him to the far recesses of your life like Christmas decorations that you pull out once a year. He's first. He's Lord of Lords. He's the King. He changed everything. And be able to say like Paul, that indescribable gift of God. I'd like to invite you to stand with me, if you would. Stand with me.